So as we just heard, President Trump said Michael Flynn was being treated unfairly. Trump talked about leaks, but the intelligence community is concerned about what Flynn allegedly said in phone calls with the Russian ambassador to the United States. Let's bring in Greg Miller, national security correspondent for The Washington Post, one of the reporters who's been breaking this story. And Greg, you write now that one of the things that really spooked, well, the spooks, you know, the intelligence agencies, is that Flynn's calls with the Russian ambassador were simultaneous with the discovery that the Russians were trying to influence the U.S. election.
Yeah, I mean, that's why there's this broader context here. So the Flynn narrative fits into this bigger story about all of this swirling suspicion about Russia's interference in the election, Russia's ties with the Trump campaign. The Flynn call comes at this really critical moment, which is why it gets so much scrutiny. The day that Obama is announcing sanctions to punish Russia for this unprecedented interference in the U.S. election, Flynn is having a conversation with the Russian ambassador in which he's sort of signaling, don't worry about this too much. We're going to be in place soon to deal with it. And that's why it's a pretty big deal.
And for those, the cynics who say, well, wait a second. I mean, what's the harm in an incoming administration saying, don't worry, you know, if they have a different opinion about sanctions, saying to a country, you know, don't worry, we'll handle that. It's illegal.
It's illegal. It is in violation of a law that dates to 1799 and has never been enforced, but nevertheless is a law. And it's also just highly problematic for sort of obvious reasons. I mean, the U.S. government is supposed to speak with one voice, even in a transition period between administrations. To have an unauthorized person sending signals not to worry about what this outgoing administration is doing, is that person operating with the interests of Washington, D.C. and the U.S. government, or in Moscow's interests at that point?
Michael Flynn has been in intelligence circles for a long time now. In fact, he made a trip to Russia in 2013 as part of a U.S. intelligence team. He must have known that the Russian ambassador to the U.S. is being tapped by intelligence people here. How could he make those calls knowing that?
Well, there's a couple of possibilities here. One is something that we always hear from counterterrorism officials, that even though it's just sort of abundantly known that even in terrorist organizations overseas, the U.S. is intercepting signals everywhere, they still slip. They forget. They are so accustomed to speaking freely on the phone that when a subject comes up they shouldn't talk about, they forget that they shouldn't go there and just sort of trip over that line. Maybe that's what happens here. I mean, it's hard to know, but you're right. Mm-hmm. Flynn absolutely should be acutely aware of how pervasive U.S. intelligence collection is. He would have seen some of the most sensitive intelligence, a lot of it drawn from the intercepted communications of people like the Russian ambassador.
Everybody was puzzled after President Obama announced the sanctions against Russia for its interference in the election, sending some Russian officials home, et cetera. And then people were surprised at Putin's seeming shrugging response. Are you saying it's because Putin knew that those sanctions weren't going to hold?
I mean, it's a huge question. It was a baffling response to people in Washington. For decades of history, there have been lots of cases of U.S. and Russia retaliating, you know, expelling one another's spies and diplomats or imposing sanctions. It's almost always reciprocal. It's almost always balanced. And in this case, Putin almost ignores it and, in fact, sort of extends an olive branch. Why don't you Americans here in Moscow come to the Kremlin for our holiday festivities? You know, we should all get along and get past these petty differences. It just catches everybody by off guard so much that that's what really triggers a renewed effort to look at, well, what explains this? Why does he do this? That's when the White House, when the CIA and FBI really start to revisit those communications between Flynn and Kislyak.
And tell us more about what we know about how intelligence officials debated informing the Trump campaign that this was happening, because some were worried that, first of all, Russia had this information and could blackmail Flynn, but also that Pence was being set up.
Yeah. So throughout the month of January, there are these debates unfolding inside the Obama administration and in particular in the upper realms of the national security agencies, including FBI, CIA, and the Director of National Intelligence. They know they got to tell Obama. The question for them is, do we also tell Trump? If so, when? And for a while, the FBI director Comey is saying, no, can't do that, can't take that step yet. We're still looking at this. We're still investigating this. That all changes as they see the Trump transition team at the time publicly saying things that U.S. intelligence agencies know not to be true.
Yeah. Well, do we know how much then-President-elect Trump had input into these phone calls? For instance, do we know if Flynn was saying to the ambassador, let me check with Trump on that? Or, do we know?
Yeah, that's one of the big looming questions, and the answer, and we do not know the answer to it yet. I mean, that's a very critical question. I mean, that would be a huge deal, obviously, if Flynn comes out of this call, calls the boss and says, yeah, we talked about sanctions, because that would suggest that Trump knew well before Justice Department brought this to the Trump administration's attention. But that's just speculative at this point. We don't know that to be the case.
That's Greg Miller, national security correspondent for The Washington Post. Greg, thank you.
Thank you.